Good morning. Mark wanted me to say, like I always do, good morning, everybody. I left out the everybody. Good morning. Morning.
Why not everybody?
Because it means everybody.
He doesn't.
You may, if you've looked at the source sheets, you may be wondering, and you have the right to wonder, what is this all about? There is no Haftarah there. It seems completely different than what we've been doing now for 3/4 of a year. And let me tell you that it is indeed different. And the shiur that I'm going to say today, I'm saying because of a personal need to say the shiur. There are reasons that have made this an even more pressing need. And furthermore, the Haftorah for Parashat Vayakhel is not an off-learned Haftorah. It's a short one that deals with the vessels of the Beit HaMikdash. And I wanted to say this year, I'll tell you what this year is about and what was it that inspired this year or made this year a necessity. A week and a half ago, or maybe 2 weeks ago, there was a very brief letter to the editor of the Jerusalem Post. And that letter, the fellow says that he really doesn't understand why everybody is getting all worked up about Gaza and Gush Katif. It's not really part of Eretz Israel, and proof is because Shemitah is not kept in Gush Katif. During Shemitah year, we eat from Gush Katif. End of letter. Now, I would have thought that there would have been many responses to it, and maybe the truth is that I should have responded myself. The only thing is, there are 10 things every day that I read in the Jerusalem Post that I get all upset and excited about that I have to respond. I push it, my whole life would be one life of responding, and you got to do something in this life. It's unbelievable, you know. And then usually there's somebody else who responds, like last week's Med article by Pinny Dunner. So along came Rabbi Macy Gordon, who was the first, and then a whole series of people that wiped the floor with yuppie Pinny Dunner, who seems to gloat about the fact that we're having so much sorrows here. But all right, we're not going to get into that. But I didn't see any response to this letter about Gush Katif, and certainly, of course, the person who's writing it seems to be an Orthodox Jew. He knows about Shemitah, and he knows that Shemitah doesn't apply in Gush Katif, so he seems to be tuned in, but he's so wrong. It's unbelievable how wrong he is. And I always want my students to know the truth. So this year is going to be really we're only able to touch, you know, a number of aspects of Gaza and Gush Katif. The ultimate, I can tell you, the end. I mean, the end is going to be very clear. There's no doubt about it. There are three kinds of boundaries or definitions of Eretz Yisrael. One is called Gevulot Ha'avtacha. Gevulot Ha'avtacha means the boundaries that are described in Torah, in Parashat Matos Masei. That there are a number of places where Torah describes and defines the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Those are called Gevulot Ha'avtacha, the boundaries of God's divine promise. Some of those boundaries we will not have until the coming of Mashiach. twice halachically Jews came to Eretz Yisrael when they entered in the days of Yehoshua, the first entry into Eretz Yisrael, and they are called Olei Mitzrayim, those who came up from Egypt, and what they conquered and what they settled is called the Gvulot, the boundaries of Olei Mitzrayim, those who came up from Egypt. Now you go through Yehoshua and Shoftim and you see that they didn't conquer every part of Eretz Yisrael. There were a number of places where the Canaanites still remained, but they did conquer a major part of Eretz Yisrael. Comes the destruction of the first Beth Hamikdash. Jews go off into exile in Babel. They return with Ezra and Nehemiah. There's going to be a period of 500 years of the Second Commonwealth. And they also establish boundaries, and their boundaries were established by virtue of what they settled. They didn't settle as much as the Olei Mitzrayim, those who came up from Egypt. Therefore, the boundaries of the second Beit HaMikdash are called the boundaries of Olei Bavel, those who came up from Bavel. Those who came up from Babel are less, they took up less area than those who came from Mitzrayim. So there are three definitions of the geography of Eretz Yisrael. Gvulot ha-haftacha, the promise, the boundaries of God in Torah. Olei Mitzrayim, those who came up from Egypt, what it was that they settled. And then there's Olei Babel. Now, there are differences in halacha between the boundaries of Olei Bavel, those who came in Bavel, from Bavel, and those who came from Mitzrayim. The areas that were settled by Olei Bavel have a din of Eretz Yisrael with regard to the mitzvot hatuliyot ba'aretz, truma, meiser, etc. And by the way, all of it is midrabanan today. Shemit and Yovel are all midrabanan. Yovel isn't altogether, but Shemit that we keep is midrabanan, because it will not be min haTorah until you have rov yoshveha aleh. You have to have the majority of Jews in Eretz Yisrael. All right. So now, whatever we're talking about is midrabanan. So there are two areas. There's the boundaries of Olei Bavel, there we keep all of the mitzvahs. Hevel Azar, from Ashkelon to the south, just as from Akko to the north. The Mishnah at the beginning of the Sechta Gittin says that one of the boundaries of Olei Bavel, those who came from Bavel, from Akko in the north to Ashkelon in the south. Is there anybody who would ever say that Carmiel and Shlomi and all of those places that are north of Akko are not part of Eretz Yisrael? Of course they're part of Eretz Yisrael. Is anybody going to say that Ashkelon, the Gemara says, is Kidorom, like the southern part, not part of Eretz Yisrael? But it doesn't mean it's not part of Eretz Yisrael. It means from the halachic point of view, as far as mitzvot atliyot v'aretz, there's a difference between that which was settled by those who came up from Babel, and then there are areas outside of it that were settled by those who came up from Egypt but not settled by those who came from Babel. It's all Eretz Yisrael. With regard, for example, to the mitzvah of yishuv v'aretz, living in the land has nothing to do with the area of those who came up from Egypt or with those who came up from Babel. The mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is within Gevulot HaHavtacha, within the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael as described in Torah. Kedushat HaAretz. Everybody says, all three Shonim Akronim, beginning with Rabbi Shtoni HaParchi, the Kaftov HaFerach, great sefer written in the 11th century by a Jew, a great Talmud Chacham, who simply walked the length and breadth of Eretz Yisrael and wrote a major treatise on halacha, Kaftor HaFerach. Kedusha HaAtzmit, the innate kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, its sanctity, applies to everything that's within the biblical boundaries. There's a Gemara that says that when they came up from Bavel, they didn't sanctify Beit Shan. Why didn't they sanctify Beit Shan? Because that they wanted that in Shemitah year, the poor would have some place next door from which they can get food. You try and tell David Levy that Beit Shan is not part of Eretz Yisrael. You'll write a letter to the editor like that to the Jerusalem Post. Well, you'll hear about it. The fact that certain halachot do not apply does not mean it's not Eretz Yisrael. There's the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael being God's land that applies to the entire all of the boundaries that are outlined in the Torah. As far as various mitzvot hatluyot ba'aretz, there are even some who hold that there are certain mitzvot like Orla and Klayim that apply min haTorah even to the boundaries of Olei Mitzrayim today, which means that in a certain number of with regard to certain halachas, Gush Katif has the halacha of Torah with regard to those mitzvot hatluyot ba'aretz, but that it is an inseparable part of Eretz. There's no question about it. I mean, there are so many places that Azza is mentioned in Torah. Shlomo HaMelech's kingdom extended may Tifsach va'ad Azza, from Tifsach until Azza. Vayilko Yoshua conquered Ashdod, Ashkelon, at Gat, and Azza. Azza appears time and time again in Tanakh. Azza was an integral, inseparable part of Eretz Yisrael. I'm sure that the confusion comes because you've been hearing, what are we doing in Azza? What business do we have over there? So first we have to know that the two oldest synagogues in Eretz Yisrael happen to be in Azza. One is in North Azza, one is in South Azza. There were Jewish communities there for I don't know how many years. I mean, hundreds of years before a Palestinian or an Arab set foot over there. One of the famous rabbis of Azza was Rabbi Yisroel Najara. Rabbi Yisroel Najara. If you think that street going through Givat Shaul is the name of some Arab sheikh, it's not. Rabbi Yisroel Najara is famous. Every Jew knows Rabbi Yisroel Najara. He wrote Kori Bone. Every Friday night is there a Jewish Fumahon that doesn't sing Kori Bone? And if you take a look, the letters, the first letters of all the stanzas equal Yisroel. Rabbi Yisroel Najara, well, 400 years ago, was the Rav of Azza. Azza appears in the Responsa literature. There's a famous question that was asked by, there was a fellow who was living in Mitzrayim and he wanted to move to Azza, and he wanted his as the halacha says, if husband or wife want to go up to Eretz Yisrael and the spouse doesn't want to go, then there are all sorts of penalties for that. He can divorce her, or for that matter, she can demand a divorce from him if she wants to go. It's all the same. It's absolutely equal over here. Don't make any mistake. Right. So here is this fellow who lives in Mitzrayim, and he wants to go to Azza. So one of the great postmen of the time said he can't force her to go to Azza. So there were those, you know, the overwhelming weight of all of the Mepharshim who came after us. What are you talking about? How could he have ever said that? Until somebody explained what he meant, what he had in mind. The fact is, this fellow wanted to move from Mitzrayim to Azza because he wanted to relocate his business to Azza. He didn't want to go to Azza because there's a mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael there. So the Pesach Halacha was, when can a spouse coerce the other one? It is when they want to go in order to fulfill the mitzvah. But what happens if he has no interest in fulfilling the mitzvah? It's just going to be better for business. Just Okay? So what I want to do, I mean, this is the general introduction to what we're talking about. For example, what about the question, do you keep Yom Tov Sheni in Aza? Do you keep Yom Tov Sheni? You know, I didn't think about it. I remember now one of the last times I was during the hotel, in the hotel Malon Chov de Kalim. I was there for Pesach. You know, I didn't keep 2 days. I didn't keep 2 days. I kept 1 day. So of course, there is a Ritva, one of the Rishonim, who says that Yom Tov Sheni or not Yom Tov Sheni depends on Gvulot Ha-Havtacha. The Gvulot, you should know the terminology already, the Gvulot Ha-Havtacha, the biblical boundaries. There is a Rambam that disagrees, but Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Paskin, that with regard to Yom Tov Sheni, everybody agrees with the Ritva, that it depends on Gvulot Ha-Havtacha, and therefore, in Aza, it's 1 day, 1 day Yom Tov. I mean, there's been a great deal that there's been, but I want to take you for a little journey through a parsha in Torah that's all Aza. It's all Gush Katif. The whole parsha. And there are such fascinating things that are said by the Mephoshim. And if you want to understand the events that are taking place before our very eyes, you have to learn this parsha. Alright, now with 15 minutes of introduction, we're going to have a little problem. Just follow me. First, we'll see some of the text of the Torah. You'll remember it. This is in Parshas Toldos. There was a famine in the land. Aside from that original great famine that took place in the days of Avram. Vayelech Yitzchak el Avimelech Melech Plishtim Grora. Yitzchak went to Avimelech, the king of Plishtim, to Grora. Let me also point out, this is really a continuation from what happened before the Akedah. In Parashat Vayelech, it says that there was a struggle between Avimelech, king of Plishtim, and Avraham, and they made a covenant that they were not going to wage war with one another, and they called the name of the place where they had made the covenant, Be'er Sheva. Now there's a famine in the land, 22 parashios later, Avraham is no longer alive, Yitzchak goes to Avimelech, Melech Plishtim, Groro. Gror is Aza. Just get this straight. Gror is Aza. By the way, you most probably will immediately understand that it has to be part of Eretz Yisrael, because we're going to see soon Yitzchak is not committed out of Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak is the Ola Tamima, the one who was brought as a sacrifice on the altar. He cannot go out to Chutz Laretz, but he's in Gror. So obviously Gror, Aza, Katif, whatever you want to call it, is an integral part of Eretz Yisrael. Vayedu alav Hashem. It seems we will, from the Mephoshim, that he goes to Plishtim with the intent of from there going down to Mitzrayim. He's following in the footsteps of his father. What did his father do when there was a famine in the land? He went down to Mitzrayim. The easiest way to get to Mitzrayim is via Plishtim. By the way, the Mitzvim also know that the quickest way to get weapons into Eretz Yisrael is via Aza. You understand? So he goes, and by the way, that's why it says, Vayi b'shalach paro et ha'am, when Paro sent the people out, lo nocham elekim derech eretz Plishtim. God did not take the Jewish people in the direction of Plishtim, because Plishtim would have been the quickest and straightest way into Eretz Yisrael. He didn't do it because he was afraid that if they would be confronted with struggle, they would turn around and go straight back. Plishtim is the way down to Mitzrayim. And it's called Plishtim. and it will be called Plishtim for a long time. There are going to be hundreds of years of battle between Jews and Plishtim until ultimately David is going to crush the Plishtim. But because it's called Eretz Plishtim does not mean it's not an integral part of Eretz Yisrael. We'll see. Vayero Elav Hashem, God appeared to Yitzchak. Vayomer, he said, Al Tered Mitzchayma, don't go down to Egypt. Shchon Boretz Asher Omar Eilecha, dwell in the land that I will say to you. Gur Boretz Hazos, live in this land. Ve'eyem Chan, I will be with you. Va'avorechecha, and I will I will bless you, kilecha ulezarecha, because to you and your seed attain it. Kol ha'aretzot el, I will give all of these lands. Va'akimoti et hashvur, I will establish the oath asher nishbati la'avram avicha, that I swore to your father Avram. Where is the promise being made to him? The promise is being made to him as he stands in Plishtim. He's in Azar someplace. I will make your seed as many as the seed of as the stars of the heavens. V'nosati lezarachot kol haratzot ha'el, all of these lands will be given to your seed. V'hidborku bezarachot kol goyei haratz, all of the nations of the land are going to be blessed by your seed. And this promise I make to you, Ekev Hashem Avram Bekoli, because Avram listened to my voice, Vayishma Mishmarti, and he kept that which I wanted him to keep, Mitzotai, Chukotai, the Torotai, my commandments, my statutes, and my Torah. Vayeshev Yitzchak Begror. Pretty small pasuk, a three-word pasuk. Yitzchak lived in Gror. Gror is Ava. Okay. Then of course we know the rest of the story. People started asking about his wife, and he said that she's my sister. And then there's this strange thing that Avimelech looked through the window and he saw Yitzchak and Rivka sort of conducting themselves not like brother and sister. So he calls Yitzchak and he says, "Why did you nearly bring me to a terrible sin? The king himself might have wanted to take Rivka." So Yitzchak tells him, "I was afraid." Pen kiamarti pen amutale pasuk 9. Pasuk 10. Avimelech says, "What did you do? Terrible thing." Anyway, Avimelech says, "Hands off Yitzchak." Vayizra Yitzchak boratzahi pasuk yudbet. He planted that year in Azam. And it's fascinating. It was a famine. Not only was it a famine, it's a difficult place to plant anything. And by Yisra Yitzchak, the Eretz Ahi Yitzchak planted in that year, and he received Meyor She'orim, 100 times the seed that he put in. Very significant. Nobody has been able to make that land fertile until Jews came 30 years ago and turned the sands of Aza into one of the most productive parts of Eretz Israel, that exports, I think, 15% of the export of vegetables to Europe comes from little Gush Etzion. It's a small area. There's no question about it that the growth in Gush Etzion is a clear indication that it's the Ribbono Shel Olam's land that he gave to us. And just as Yitzchak planted that year and he got a tremendous yield, so too, that's what's happened there over the last 30 years. They took sand dunes, and turned them into gardens. The hearts stood there, I'm telling you, I'm sick of it all. Anyway, the next part of the parasha, we know the story. He starts digging wells. Which wells does he dig? Wells that had already been dug by his father Avraham, and following the death of Avraham, the Plishtim had closed up those wells. We'll see the Mepharshim saying, do you know why they closed up the wells? Because they were afraid that someday Avram's children are going to come here and they're going to want to take title and possession of this land, and they don't want them there. From the very beginning, we're going to see in the Farshim, there's going to be a Radak. If I don't get to it inside, at least the Radak says there were always struggles over that piece of land. For 350 years during the time of the Shoftim until ultimately David HaMelech crushed the Plishtim, there were always struggles over that land. And it was with the Plishtim. The Plishtim were the most serious enemy we had throughout history. The Plishtim, the worst. He digs three wells. The first well, they contend and they struggle about it, so he calls the name of the well Asek. Asek, we had a disagreement about it. There's a second well, and they struggle about that well, saying, it's our well. Yitzchak learns quickly. Doesn't take him 3,500 years, and there are those who don't learn after 3,500 years. That's a tragedy. They think that everything's going to be okay. Yitzchak already knew by the time there was a struggle over the second well that they hate him, and he called the name of the well Sitna. Then there was a third well, and they didn't struggle over the well. He called that well Rechovot. Apo, now, here Chiv Hashem Lanu, God has made things wide for us and for Rinu Boretz, and we're going to be fruitful in the land. I wanted to apply to this idea, which we'll see is expressed by the Radak, that there will be periods of Asek, there will be periods of Sitna, and by the time of Mashiach, it will be Rechovot. By the time of Mashiach, there won't be any struggle anymore over Chevel Aza and Gush Katif. So I wanted to say that really corresponds to what the Ramban says. The Ramban here says that the first well represents the first commonwealth. The second well represents the second commonwealth. The first well is Bayit Rishon. The second well is Bayit Sheni. The third well represents the third time Jews will come back to Eretz Israel. That's now. And then will come the time of Hirchev Hashem Lanu Ufaridu Ba'aretz, that it will be ours, and no one will ever claim it again. That means that what's about to happen, you understand, should not be part of the script. Should not be part of the script. I don't know. Maybe it won't happen. I don't know. If God forbid it does happen, it's going to be a profound tragedy. But as far as I'm concerned, my faith will not be shaken. Because men cannot undo what God has wrought. They'll find out soon enough that it was a tragic, tragic mistake. It's part of the Gvulot HaHavtacha. It's going to be ours. It's going to be ours. And maybe it really means, I'm afraid to say this, that Goyim will not be able to take it from us when we come for the third time. That doesn't mean that Jews won't be able to take it from us. All right. Let's begin to take a look at some of the Mepharshim. In number one, which is a Radak, I just want you to take a look at, there are going to be a few of these examples, but it's very clear, it has to be made clear, and it is made clear by the Mepharshim. Number one, the Radak says that Yitzchak goes down to Plishtim because it seems that the famine in Eretz Canaan was not as bad in Plishtim as it was there. If you'll take a look, you see where it's underlined. The Radak makes a clear statement. Ki eretz plishtim me eretz kanani. Make no mistake. Eretz plishtim is part of eretz kanan. It's not chutz laretz. It's not chutz laretz. Kamo shekatav, it had been said earlier. And that's why v'chein omalo, proof that it's part of Eretz Yisrael. That's why God says to him, "Ki l'chol zaracho atein et kol haratzot ha'el, to you and your children I will give all of these lands." Umar Shomar, when he said, "Shchom boras ha'shomar elecha," v'achakein omar, God said two things to Yitzhak. He said, "Shchom, dwell in the land that I will tell you." And then he told him, "Gur, live in this land. L'chazek lo ha'mitzvah." To strengthen Yitzchak's understanding that there's a mitzvah to live here. Shelo yetze min haaretz, lo atav v'lo la'olam. He shouldn't leave Eretz Yisrael neither now nor ever. It's clear. This is it. It's Eretz Yisrael. Asher omar elecho, kasher omar tilovicha. Kach omar elecho, as I said to your father, so I say to you. Vihirbeiti, the next piece of the Radak, v'natati lezaracha, lehem tihye matana gemura. Ultimately, to your children, this piece of land will be given as a complete gift. Sheyishkenu bo, they will live in the land. V'yigorshu hagoyim mimena, and the nations are going to be cast out of there. Ma'ashom alazaracha, al zera Yaakov ama. Kihu al zera miyuchad l'Avram liyitzak. I think it must have been in the Shabbos Shuvah Drasha this year. I said, and I didn't have this text in front of me then. I said that Avram Avinu represents Bayit Rishon. Yitzchak Avinu represents Bayit Sheni. Yaakov Avinu represents the third entry into an Eretz Yisrael. And in what way is Yaakov's entry into Eretz Yisrael different than all of the others? Because it is only to Yaakov that God makes the promise, Ufaratzta yoma v'kevma tzafona v'negva. You're going to spread out in all directions. As Chazal say it, and as we say it in the Zmiris, that God will give to Yaakov nachala b'li mitzarim, an inheritance without boundaries. This is the time when we are supposed to be in the process of receiving boundaries without end. So that therefore, whatever mere mortal men attempt to do will ultimately fail. The only question is what will be the price. The Orachayim on this passage, the Orachayim HaKadosh, Ki l'chol l'zarecha, to you and your children I will give this land, Eretz plishtim b'chlal netinat ha'aretzi. Remember that sentence. Eretz plishtim is part of the gift of Eretz Yisrael. It is not separate and distinct. It's not chutz laretz. The Arachayim is talking to the fellow who wrote the letter to the Jerusalem Post. Make no mistake. V'lozeh ganki hiskim haRamban. The Ramban also agrees with this. I imagine there must have been some confusion even in their days with regard to the halacha of Aza. So they all wanted to make it clear. The Radak, by the way, is about 500 years before the Arachayim. The Arachayim was 200 years ago here in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Chaim ben Attar, he's called the Arachayim HaKodesh. Arachayim HaKodesh is buried on Har HaZeisim. And the Ramban and the Radak, even Prince Rav David Kimchi was one of the great Jews in the golden period of Spain, in the early years of the golden period of Spain. We're talking about 1,000 years, Radak, to Ramban, to Arachayim. L'zeh gan ki niskim haRamban v'omro l'cho haftoch hazu ulai shehi alma shehitzliach husham. the special promise over here about this land is to point out that Yitzchak had had unbelievable success. Where? In Aza. Vayizra Yitzchak Beretz Ahi. Yitzchak planted in that year. And he got Me'o Sharim. Va'odnit Kavein Lo Marlo. God also intended to say to him here, She'yizkehu bo Lizroa V'ulai. Now watch this. That he will be Zochet Lizroa. Now listen to this carefully. V'ulai ki lo hechazik Avrom Beretz Plishtim V'chazakor Mishonah. It may be that Yitzchak had to come back to Plishtim, because when Avraham Avinu was in Plishtim, he didn't lay claim to it. Proof that he didn't lay claim? He entered into a covenant with Abimelech in which he said, there will be no struggle between me and you, my children and your children, my grandchildren and your grandchildren. So what Avraham is really done, I mean, it's difficult to say it, but the Archaim is saying it, the Rabbis are saying it. Avraham had relinquished, for a number of generations, he relinquished his right to the land. And therefore, in order to make sure that this land will be part of the Nachala of Klal Yisrael, Yitzchak had to come, and you know what he had to do? He had to dig wells. He had to plant in that land. How do you make a kinyan? How do you acquire land? By working the land. So the Urachain says, Ulai maybe kilo hechazik Avram beretz plishtim bechazoko harishona. Avram didn't really hold on to the land of Plishtim when he first was there. Rotzo Hashem, that's why God wanted sheyachazik Yitzchak ba, that Yitzchak should now take possession. V'hu hechezigba v'chazoka mu'ula. A chazoka mu'ula means a proper kinyan. Shechorash v'zorah, he plowed and he planted. And that's why God said, et kol ha'ratzot ha'el, he says, these lands, because you now, by virtue of the fact that you've come here, and you've planted, and you dug wells, you have now taken possession. This all goes back to the Ramban, who says that whatever the Avos did, Maaseh Avos Siman Labanim, whatever the Avos did was in order to pave the way for the children. Avram goes through the land in order to make it easier for his children ultimately to conquer the land. And that's why originally he went to Plishtim. But he didn't make in Plishtim the kind of acquisition that he should have, and therefore Yitzhak had to come after him. Number three, the Chizkuni, another one of the Rishonim. V'akimoti of Ashur, and I will establish that promise, that oath that I have made to Avraham is going to be yours now, that I'm going to give this to your children. L'zarecho v'lo li'Yishmael. It's yours, but not Yishmael. By the way, the Or HaChaim at the end says the same thing. Lecha, you are considered the seed of Avram, and therefore it's yours, and not the. I give Harotzo Ta'el. Remember, this is God's promise to Yitzchak, and the promise is being made while he's standing on Gush Katif. And he says to him, Harotzo Sa'el. Here we have the Chizkuni now, saying exactly what the Radak had said, what the Ramban had said, what the Or HaChaim had said. Sha'arei Eretz Plishtim Av Bechlal Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Plishtim is part of Eretz Yisrael. It's not some kind of a foreign country. It's not a two-day Yontif country. Sha'arei Eretz Plishtim Av Bechlal Eretz Yisrael, as we explained in Parsha Vayera. At kol haratzot ha'el, he says very nicely, ha'el means hey, the 31. Lamed Aleph is 31. Yehoshua is going to conquer 31 kings when he enters Eretz Yisrael. So you know what that really represents? 31 kings represents all of Eretz Yisrael. Let's turn over to the other side. Number four, You can't see it. It's the Netziv, Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. And here, for the present, we'll just take the very end. It's underlined the last three lines. Kilcho, because to you and your children I will give this land. Hu tam alatzivu, this is the reason why God commanded him, gur boretz hazos, live in this land. Why? Do you know why he has to live in this land? Because it's going to be given to his children. So what's accomplished by his living in this land? Laharot chavivut haaretz shehishalo v'shel zaro, that he should show and demonstrate his love of the land. What land? Gush Katif, Hebel Aza, and it's Plishtim, because it's his and his seed, it belongs to them. Laharo, to show Chavivut Ha'adetz, the love of the land. The next Radak, number 5. Let's see where it's underlined. The Chol Hasipurim Ha'ela, all of the stories in this parasha about the digging of the wells. The Chol Hasipurim Ha'ela b'Chafirot HaBeirot, the digging of the wells, u'b'Kriat HaShemot, and calling them the names that they were called. La'Hudviya to tell us. Ki be'Eretz Yisrael Hamurzeket, Eretz Yisrael that we hold on to. Ha'yachofer be'Eirot Kiritzono, he was able to dig wells as he wished. And nobody stopped him. He gave them the names that he wanted. And the people would call it that. Listen, as the Torah says, the name of the place is Be'er Sheva Ab Hayom Hazeh. Avram Avinu named the place Be'er Sheva. And lo and behold, the whole world knows exactly where Be'er Sheva is. What's going to be fascinating, of course, is at the end of this parasha here, after the struggles between Avram and Yitzhak, they're going to join again and make a second covenant. And then it says, the last pasuk over here is Vayikra Otash Shiv'a. He called the place Shiv'a. Al kein shem ha'ir Be'er Sheva ad hayom hazeh. Therefore, the name of the place is Be'er Sheva until this day. You should know, so-called Bible scholars have had a field day with this. They wanted to prove that Torah is really a patchwork of all sorts of different different documents from source A, B, C, X, Y, Z. So they say, hey, look, here are two stories. One Avram calls the name Be'er Sheva. Two, Yitzchak calls the name Be'er Sheva. Alright? So, I mean, will the real caller of the name Be'er Sheva please stand up? What they didn't understand was, according to them, there was some unknown editor, we don't know who he is, who put the stories and patched them together. Now, if he patches them together, obviously, if he had a little bit of seichel, not too much, if he just had a little bit of seichel, he knew that he can't put in, you know, you don't name Be'er Sheva twice. I mean, what happened? You know, you can't sell the Brooklyn Bridge, you can't name Be'er Sheva twice. Why did he do such a foolish thing? So, I'm taking you now to number 8. Such a simple yet profound answer. Meshechachma Rabnei Simcha Vayikra Otash Shiva, he called the name of the place Shiva. Al Ken Shem Ha'ir, that's why the name of the place is Be'er Sheva Ad Hayom Hazeh. Hakavana. I'll tell you exactly what it says, then we'll read the words. He says there was a covenant between Avraham and Avimelech, and they called the name of the place Be'er Sheva. The only thing is, in this parasha over here, One of the Pesukim says that Avimelech turns to Yitzchak and he says, Leich me'imanu, leave us. Ki atzamta mimenu mi'od, because you become mighty from us. The first time a Jew is expelled from Chevel Azza. Yitzchak is expelled from Chevel Azza. So Remeshech Chochma says, by virtue of the fact that Avimelech exiled Yitzchak, that means he's broken the covenant that he made with Avram. The covenant that Avimelech made with Avram is that there's going to be peace between me and my children and your children and our grandchildren. By virtue of the fact that he casts out Yitzchak, then he has broken the covenant. If so, it means that he's turned the name Beersheba into something that is meaningless. Therefore, there has to be a new covenant that he makes with Yitzchak. And only then is the city called Beersheba, because of the second covenant. Watch the words of the Meshech Chochma. Goin Adir. And therefore, all of the great questions that were asked by Bible critics, who gave it a name? They all disappear into absolute nothingness. I wouldn't be a bit surprised. They're still teaching this at Hebrew University, you understand. They're still teaching you that Torah wasn't given at Sinai. Torah is a patchwork. Proof? Two Beersheba's. Says the Meshech Chochma HaKavonah, said the Parshat Vayedo, in Parshat Vayedo before the Akedah, Kishenishba Avimelech Va'Avram, the Choritushmei and Brit, when Avram and Avimelech swore to one another, not at, swore to one another, and they made a covenant, Korah Lamakam Beersheba, he called the name of the place Beersheba, Aval Achakach Kishagishu at Yitzhak, afterwards when they cast out Yitzhak, Hufar HaBrit Ben Shneim, they violated the treaty that had been made between the two of them. Ubatlo HaShvua Shenizlu, the oath that they had taken at Be'er Sheva, oath, the Be'er of the oath, that oath was meaningless. Shekivish Avimelech Hufar Benito, because Avimelech violated the bris. Two Ein B'nei Avram, the Chalal HaShvua, so the children of Avram are not part of the oath that was made. Avul Kibol Yitzchak, when they came to Yitzchak, v'asu imo shalom, and they made peace with him, shalom. The nishbu zelazel, they swore to one another, shuv nitkayem ha-shvua. So now the shvua, the oath, is again reinstated. The nikra shenit, for a second time they called the name of the place Beersheba, ad hayom hazeh. It's ad hayom hazeh, not because of the covenant that was entered into between Avraham and Avimelech, but because of the covenant that was entered into between Avraham and Yitzchak. V'zeh sho'omad, that's why the pasuk here says al kein shem ho'ir, therefore the name of the city is Beersheba ad hayom hazeh. V'nachon, I like when the Meshech Chochma, after he says a good word, he says v'nachon, it's correct, you should know, you can bet on it, it's correct, I'm saying the truth. Now there's a painful piece that is a little bit of history to this piece. I don't even know whether I should say the history, but alright. Number 7 is a Rashbam. This Rashbam is at the beginning of Akedat Yitzchak, by Yehi Achar Hadvarim Ha'ele, and it came to pass after these things. The last time I taught this Rashbam was 10 years ago. 10 years ago. It was the parsha that was going to be read the following Shabbos was going to be Parsha Vayera. And this Rashbam is on Parsha Vayera at the beginning of the Akedah. And I remember driving in and thinking, I can't learn that Rashbam. Not today I can't. And then I decided, no, the Rashbam is Torah, and therefore I'm going to learn it. What was it that caused me such deep the Motzoi Shabbos before that year, Yitzchak Rabin was assassinated.
Oh, right.
Monday was the Levaya. And here I'm going to learn a Rashbam that is really a complete assault on all the agreements that were made at the time. I was in great pain, just like anybody who had any head or any heart was in great pain at the tragedy of this sort. Something of this sort should happen, like Klal Yisrael, a Yid, you understand, should kill a fellow Jew. It was a horror. But then I decided Torah's Torah. And whatever differences of opinion we had, those differences of opinion are legitimate, and therefore they were legitimate. So I learned the Rashbam. The Rashbam is a little scary. The Rashbam says the following: Vayihi achar hadvorim ho'ele, and it came to pass after these things. Do you know what precedes the Akedah, the covenant between Avraham and Abimelech, the treaty, and which he calls the name of the place Beersheba, it's called Beersheba for the first time. All of the Mephoshim want to understand what's the relationship when it says, and it came to pass after these things. It always means that there's some kind of a relationship between that which came before and that which comes now. And therefore it says, and after these things, such and such happened. There are all sorts of other mafarshim that say, for example, Rashi says, after these things, going back much earlier in Parashat Vayeda, that when Yitzchak was born, Avram made a party. When Yitzchak was 2 years old, he made a party. He most probably made a bar mitzvah they had never seen a bar mitzvah like this in the Middle East. And the Sultan said, and he didn't bring a sacrifice to you. He makes parties, you understand? And he doesn't bring a sacrifice to you. So the God says to the Sultan, if I ask him to sacrifice his own son, he'll do that too. So Rashi says, "Vayihi achar hadvarim ha'ele," after the words of the Sultan. The difficulty with Rashi is the words of the Sultan don't appear in Torah, and if anything, it refers back to events earlier in the Sefer. The Rashbam is always the one who attempts to learn Pshito Shel Mikra. If it says "Vayihi achar hadvarim ha'ele," it means after that which immediately preceded. And the point that the Rashbam is going to say is that the Akedah, the command of God that he should bring his one and only son as a sacrifice, was a punishment. You entered into an agreement with somebody about the land that I promised you. Who gave you a right to make any agreements or any deals with regard to that land? It's not yours, it's mine, and I gave it to you. You have no right to make any agreements with anybody. And God, therefore, is going to say to him, so you think you can make your own agreements or your own deals? I'm going to show you that you may not even have a son to whom you're going to give any part of Eretz Yisrael. Very, very powerful Rashbam, but he proves it. He establishes point number one. You have to understand when it says, and it came to pass after these things, it's always related to the parasha immediately before. Achar hadvarim ha'ele says in Parashat Lech Lecha, after these things, God appeared to Avram and told him, don't be afraid. So the Rashbam learns, after he had conquered the four great kings and he was frightened that they may take retribution someday, so God tells him, Altir, Avram, don't be afraid. Achar hadvarim ha'ele. Altir, Shaharak Avram es hamalachim, Amal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God said to him, Altir Avram, don't be afraid of the nations. Vahi achar hadvarim ha'ele, Shenolad Yitzhak, afterwards it says, after these things, that Yitzhak was born. At the end of the Akedah, it says, Achar Hadvarim Ha'ele, after the great passion of the Akedah, the news reaches Avram, that children were born to Besuel, yes, and to Gachash and Tacham and Macha. So it says, Lamar Od Ubetuel Yolodet Rivka, Betuel gave birth to Rivka. So you should know that the Shidduch, the Zivik for Yitzchak, is ready. The Chain Akarat Vorim Ha'ele. The third chapter in Megillat Esther, after these things, Shehigid Mordechai, what happened at the end of chapter 2? That Mordechai was the one who stopped the assassination, the attempted, alleged assassination of Ahasuerosh. So there's a direct relationship between now that he was nearly assassinated, so Ahasuerus needs a strong man who's going to be his front man, and that is going to be okay. Two lines further, Afkan. Here also, Achar Advarim Shekoras Avram Brislavi Melech Lo Lenino Lenecto. After Avram had made a covenant with Avimelech between him, his grandson, and his great grandson, Shel Avram, the Nosam Al Sheva Kivso son, and he gave him 7 sheep. The Chora Arbo Shel HaKodesh Baruch Hu Al Zod. God got angry about that covenant. Shaharei Eretz Plishtim V'chlal Gevul Yisrael. Is this the fourth time we hear this now? The fifth time? Eretz Plishtim is part of Eretz Yisrael. How do you make a covenant to give it away? Who gave you the right to give it away to anybody? And Avram didn't have to evacuate anybody from Plishtim in order to make the covenant. Because Eretz Plishtim is Bechlal Gvul Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tziv Aleihem, and God had commanded about those living in the land of Canaan, Motechaya Kol Neshama Yishana, let them live. V'gam B'Yoshua Matilin Al Orei Chamesha Sarnei Plishtim Goro. Right? The Rashbam says, take a look and say for Yoshua, the lots that were drawn to divide Eretz Yisrael, there are also lots drawn with regard to the 5 cities of Plishtim. And according to most Mepharshim, it became part of the Nachala, the inheritance of Yehuda. Lachain, because he entered into a covenant that he shouldn't have entered into. You can't do this. Therefore, Velokim Nisot Avram, God tested Avram. And he explains the word Nisa, not as to test, but he says, Kintero Vitsiaro. I don't know how to translate Kintero. Tsiaro means he pained him, or he sort of, God wanted to get him upset so that he should realize the mistake that he had made. Kidichtiv, as it says, Pasuk in Iyov, Hanisod Daber Elecho Tile, one tries to talk to you, you become exhausted. Al Naso Tamet Hashem, they taunted God, taunted, that's the word. Maso Umediva, the Chaneni Hashem Vinaseni, Kloma. Listen, this is so difficult. Nidga'eita baben shenetarticha. You become full of pride about the son that I gave you. Lichrod brit. Now you can make a covenant between you and their children. All right, you have children now, and they have children. Me? My children? My enikul kamiyat Hashem. Gzuntai. Viaton now, you know what I'm telling you? Leich v'haleu l'ola, bring him as an ola. V'yid, and now we're going to see maho ilo kvitod brit shalacha. Let's see what was the benefit that accrued to you from having made this covenant. V'chein matziosi achari ken b'medrash shel Shmuel. Afterwards, after he thought of this, in other words, because I think it's beautiful that the Rashbam is saying this, and I believe that that's exactly how it happened. Because first he looks at Pshuto Shel Mikra. First he looks at, what's the Pasuk say? Vayihi achar hadvarim ela means that whatever comes afterwards, the Akedah has to be related to the covenant between Avram and Avinelech. And then he says, I found it in the Medrash. See, one of the Rashbam's complaint to his Zayde Rashi was that Rashi used Medrash too much. Should have stuck more to Pshuto Shel Mikra. Alright. So he says, but then afterwards I found in the Medrash in Shmuel, Vayhi Aron Hashem Ve'eretz Plishtim Shiva Chodashim, the Ark of God, after the battle at which they captured the Ark of God that was there for 7 months. K'tiv, it says, you know what this corresponded to? The seven sheep that you gave to Abimelech. Shenatata lo sheva kvasot. Chayecha, I swear, God says, Shebonim oisim sheva mulchamos. Avimelech's children are going to wage 7 wars against your children because you entered into that covenant. The Notzchim Altan and the Plishtim are going to be victorious. Tavaracha, Chayecha, Shebonov Horgim Sheva Tzadikim Mibonecha. I swear that his children, Avimelech's children, are going to kill 7 Tzadikim of your children. Ve'eluhain, Shimshon, Chofni, Pinchas, Shaul, Ushosha's born of Shaul and his 3 sons. Tavaracha, this is the worst. Chayecha, I swear, because you made this covenant with him, you gave away to him something that doesn't belong to him, something that I gave to you. There are going to be 7 houses of God that are going to be destroyed. The Elohim, Ohel Moed, the Gilgal, the Nov, the Shiloh, the Givon, Ubeit Olamim, the first Beit HaMikdash and the second. Doracha, really what he started with, that the Aron is going to be moved through the land of Plishtim for 7 months. So he says, Nasei Kuntraye, to be contrary or to taunt. This is an awesome and amazing Rashbam. And the Rashbam, of course, is built on Pshuto Shel Mikra, but it's more than that. He brings a Medrash. Ha'olem Yidvadeinu, the Sikum, is that what we're talking about is clearly Eretz Yisrael. Anybody who's going to try and tell you that we're talking about something that's the land of Plishtim and what are we doing in Gaza, I'm only giving, of course, you have to know the Mepharshim, you have to know what Torah says. The whole story, the whole chapter. The 2 chapters, the chapter of Avraham and Avimelech and the chapter of Yitzhak and Avimelech, are all taking place in Aza. Gror equals Aza. Shevel, Katif, it's all the rest. So that you have to understand, Kedushat Haaretz, the sanctity of the land, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael applies there just like any place else. Only thing that differentiates it from Tel Aviv or Ramat Aviv Gimel is that Ramat Aviv Gimel, the Ole Babel settled there, but Ole Babel did not sanctify Gush Katif, and most probably it was for our benefit so that we should have some place from which to get food during the year of Shemitah. Yehi Ratzon Milifnei Avinu Shevar Shemayim, that this should not happen. Okay.
You sent a copy of the mail.